This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
We are off and running on a hump day. It is a Wednesday evening alongside Super Bowl champion Sean King. I am Tim Murray, live from the Circus Sportsbook. We are getting closer and closer, inching closer to championship weekend. More thoughts aplenty about this upcoming weekend. But what do we got going on tonight? We got games all around, college basketball games that we previewed last night. Some going well for some people, some going poorly for some people. Mr. King, how are you today?
I am excellent. I'm excellent. One day closer to a wonderful Sunday of AFC-NFC Championship game football. So I'm beginning my countdown. Cannot wait. Puxtradamus had a couple plays tonight. Nothing of significance. The Detroit Red Wings decided that playing at home is not a good thing for them. So as we start the show, they just gave up another goal. Now down 6-3. So
that's all right.
I guess I'll have to root for the Ginger Genius tonight, because you do have quite a bit of stuff going on.
Yeah, the Ginger Genius, named by you, not myself, is not feeling too well. Last night at the end of the show, we put it out there, we tweeted it out. It was in our, you know, weekly or daily email. I was on Seton Hall. I should have been on Marquette. You know, we've been riding the Marquette train. We've been all on. You know, we were passenger one, woo woo, with Captain Shaka, and we were taking the points. We took the points this weekend, and we won again. And then I decided to get off the train. I said, "This is my stop." Yep, Orange, New Jersey. This is my stop. I'm gonna get off. I'm gonna put on the blue, and I'm gonna cheer for the old Seton Hall Pirates. Well, as we look up right now, Seton Hall is trailing by 14, and the Shaka Smart train continues to ride on through the fine state of New Jersey.
You can't be a halfway crook.
And they are now 57-40. I apologize. I hope this gets back to Shaka Smart. It's on me. I'm all aboard, Coach.
I thought you would have learned, because I've seen you do this before. Different sport, different team, but you were on Western Kentucky all year.
Well, I didn't bet against them, right. But I just didn't bet on them.
Right, like, go with your initial thought, especially when that thought is right.
And we found Western Kentucky. We loved Western Kentucky.
You found Marquette, and you love Marquette.
But they were getting too sexy. See, that's the problem.
Not only did you not back them, you went against them.
I went against them.
I'd have felt better if you just say, "I'm going to stay away."
I should have. I should have stayed away. I would have saved some money.
So you stayed. You held your ground in VCU versus Davidson.
Let's get to the other game. So Davidson has been a team that has kind of been my nemesis. They are my nemesis.
Yeah.
I've gone against them. I went against them twice last week when they were on the road at VCU. No, first it was at Richmond. Then it was at VCU. Both times Davidson was a dog. Both times the Wildcats won and ripped my heart out. I stayed away this weekend when they went on the road to the Bronx to play Fordham. They won by 3, didn't cover. And I faded them tonight, and you were mocking me last night.
It's not over.
Yep. I'm in a much better position in this game than I am that game.
I don't know.
VCU, I need Marquette to win by, Seton Hall to win by 4. They trail by 18. I need VCU to not lose by 5, and they're up by 10.
Oh, yeah, this game will be tied in about 4 or 5 minutes of game time.
By the way, Davidson just showed their crowd, and they've got like 15 dudes in Speedos. Yeah. So,
yeah. In North Carolina?
I guess they're checking for a hook and hold here. But right now, VCU at Davidson, the Rams leading 49-39. So those are the two games.
I actually did not go against you in that game. I took over 129.5.
All right, so we're at?
Yeah, I might need overtime.
I'd rather not have no overtime. We're at 88 with 12:46 to go. Davidson could get hot.
They're going to need to. We need about, 41, 42 points?
Your guy, Mike Jones, who didn't miss a shot in the city of Richmond, Virginia, is just 1-for-5 tonight. So I'll take that.
He heard me backing him.
I know. You were pumping him up, man. You were his hype man.
I mean, anybody shooting 50% from three on the year.
He's phenomenal.
And it's not like he's not letting them go. So it's not like he's 5 of 10.
Well, I did a radio hit in Richmond late last week after I had lost both my bets against Davidson. I said, I think Davidson's a team that if they get the right draw, whether it be on the 7 line or the 8 line, oh, they call it a hook and hold flagrant. That foul is the most ludicrous ruling in all of sports.
I tell you, that game's a long way from over.
It is a long way from over. Yeah. I'm just in a lot better shape there than I am right now in New Jersey.
Yeah, so now it's an 8-point game.
Which and they Davidson led by at half. The ball. Which they led by at half.
Yeah.
So we're all right.
You know Mike Jones is going to break your heart. And it's going to be your fault.
Not my fault.
Because we had a whole segment yesterday where I tried to talk you out of continually going against Davidson.
They're down by 8.
It doesn't matter. That's why they play the whole game.
I got him at 4.5
last
night.
So you think you're good in this game?
I'm in better shape than I am where the team that I'm laying 4 points with is down by 21.
Davidson wins by at least 7.
Cigar bet?
No.
No, then you don't believe.
Oh, I've seen Mike Jones do this to you time and time again. Maybe you like pain.
I do. And I like when my teams that I bet
obviously
on.
Obviously, I do, because I bet with the Detroit Red Wings tonight. Not generally a winning proposition.
We do have a college hoop game coming up at the bottom of the hour. A Mountain West showdown. San Diego State taking on Utah State. Market moving towards the home team quite a bit here. So my keep Tim entertained bet for the evening will be Utah State plus the 1 in that one. So let's go Aggies, get it done. Even though there is some worry that they've got some injuries. Their second leading scorer is out for this game. But, you know, when you go up to Logan, Utah, weird things happen. So let's keep Tim entertained. We'll go to Utah State.
Did the Giants hire a GM? Is this who's getting out of the Jeep?
The Bills guy.
On this commercial?
Yeah, the Bills.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I hope he can play.
He likes Daniel Jones.
Oh, like I said, I hope he can play.
All right, so we got a lot going on. Nate Lundy going to join us, bottom of the hour. We'll talk some prop plays for championship weekend with Nate. We'll have your guys' stats.
Yeah, man.
On once again,
Rob G.
Talk some Rob Guerrera. He will talk some 49ers with us, and then the red hot Kenny White.
Yeah, he's been on fire.
He's feeling good.
Gave us a side 2 weeks ago. Gave us a total this week. I mean, he's been on fire.
So we will see what Kenny has. Kenny also big college hoops better. Was curious to see what he was on tonight. I mean, once again, I'm gonna go cash my closing line value though on Seton Hall. We laid 4 last night, folks. It closed at 6. We get something for that, right?
Yeah, an opportunity not to go and cash your ticket.
I'm sorry, Shaka. I apologize. Yeah.
You should write him a letter.
I am. You know what?
Really. And as you're writing the letter, what it'll do is continually remind you to don't be stupid. Like, you are the first person I heard that was all in on Shaka at Marquette. Dear. Everyone else I talked to was still talking about how terrible a job Shaka did at Texas. You were like, I love Shaka, especially as an underdog.
I am sorry.
And then all of a sudden tonight, I mean, you go crazy.
You.
I just don't get it.
Because what did I say?
I don't get it.
I said, Shaka Smart as a dog. We're playing it all year long. But he's a dog tonight. A 4-point dog.
Yeah.
Sorry for fading you at Seton Hall tonight.
This don't get you sometimes, man.
It will.
Now you better hope Mike Jones doesn't turn to Steph Curry over here.
Happen again. Your biggest fan.
Also, the Red Wings scored to make it 6-4.
All right,
I'll start believing if they can get it to 6-5.
I wrote my letter to Shaka.
Gosh, that's such a bad play.
We got some football to get into. We'll get into that maybe on the other side a little bit. But you know what's interesting? I mean, just coming in here and shooting the breeze with producer Aaron Oster. The line's just not moving, man. It's just
I think it's right.
It's very interesting to look at the lines, and there was early movement, right? There was early movement on the Niners. That opened 4, got bet down. But everything else is pretty much status quo. The total has been the biggest mover, that to the over
in the Chiefs
in the Chiefs Bengals game starting at
51.5.
Yeah, and it's moved up. So that has been the biggest mover.
I mean, we basically go over spreads all year.
Yep.
When those spreads came out, I didn't look at either game and like, oh yeah, that's definitely the side.
Of course not.
I was like, yeah, that's about right.
It's the tightest market all year long. The NFL market always is. And
they are telling you that Cincy can't win outright. That if they do, it's be of extreme rarity and an outlier.
I was
saying that.
I was reading Point Spread Weekly today. Some interesting nuggets of favorites of 7 or more since 1999. Our guy Steve Mackinnon pointed this out. Favorites of 7 or more since 1999 on championship weekend are just 6-11 ATS. So
sounds like you should bet Cincy.
I like Cincy. I would like it a lot more at 7.5. Maybe we'll get there. It's very interesting to me, Sean, that it remains at 7 and has not budged a little bit higher. I think there'd be some backing in the marketplace. Much more on this game coming up on the other side. We'll get some prop plays at the bottom of the hour as well. And let's go Rams. VCU, baby. Bring it on home. The Nightcap on VCU.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. This segment of the Nightcap is being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups, and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn nicotine pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn nicotine pouches are available in over 100,000 locations nationwide, meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That's ZYN.com/find. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. You know,
Red Wings.
Got to look at the bright side sometimes.
You're right.
What do you got going
on? They're making a comeback. They were down 6-3. It's now 6-5.
Beautiful.
If we can get this thing to overtime, we can win it.
Got to look at the bright side sometimes.
You do.
So I apologized. I wrote my letter. I'll mail it out after the show.
Okay. Probably typing's better.
But to the Marquette Athletic Department. But I thought about taking Seton Hall's second half as a 7.5-point favorite. Down 17 at the break. And I did not. And they're down 16 right now. So watch them cover now. Now they'll cover the
second. This is a comprehensive whooping.
This is. It's better. I like it.
And at what point do we actually look at Marquette now
as
not just a trendy dog?
They're legit.
They're ranked number 22 in the country now.
They're like,
they're proven they can be good teams on the road.
Bracketology has them around, I think, a 6 after they win this one on the road. This will be a quad one victory for them. So Shaka Smart doing wonders up there in the great city of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as the Golden Eagles taking it to the Pirates tonight. All right. On to the AFC Championship.
Okay.
Number still remains the same. 7. Kansas City the favorite. A total of 54.5. Real quickly, before we jump into this game for the dog, do you like the over? You've mentioned it. I'm not saying you it's your big King's best bet or anything
so
like that.
I liked it a lot more at the 51.5.
And I still Eric don't, Eager really liked the under.
I still don't dislike it at 54.5. but I don't know if I'm going to play it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, I think Patrick Mahomes is going to have to play the game of his life for the Chiefs to win. Because I think Joe Burrow is confident. I think the Chiefs have major issues in areas that are extremely strong areas for Cincinnati offensively, and I think they can exploit it. Remember, week 17, Joe Burrow, 40 of 49, or 30 of 39 for 444 yards, four touchdowns, no interceptions versus this same Chiefs defense that was playing for the potential number one seed in the AFC on that Sunday. So they have a good feel for what Kansas City wants to do in the secondary and how they can exploit it. So Patrick Mahomes is going to have to show up. This may not be Josh Allen, but it's Joe Burrow.
Seton Hall's now covering the second half number. I just can't get it right with this game. I just can't figure it out. I'm of the same mindset you are. So we got the prop board up there for the Bengals and the Chiefs. Over under on passing yards is 289.5 for Joe Burrow, 292.5 for Patrick Mahomes. They have the same odds at DraftKings Sportsbook right now, Sean, to have the most passing yards on Championship Sunday. So Patrick Mahomes is plus 175, Joe Burrow plus 175 at DraftKings. Matthew Stafford's plus 250. Jimmy G is at plus 550. Do you give either quarterback in the evening affair, Stafford or Garoppolo, a chance to have the most passing yards this weekend?
Yeah.
Which one?
Stafford. I mean, they're capable of Stafford throwing for close to 400 yards, and it's still being a tight competitive game against San Francisco. I mean, the Rams' offense is kind of set up to be statistically elite,
mm-hmm.
you know, just with the way it's designed. So,
but against that defense, San Francisco's defense, which is playing well.
Yeah. You look up something.
Well, while you look it up, you know, I know he's the co-favorite. I just think Joe Burrow, the path for victory is Joe Burrow just lighting them up through the air. And I think the prop market, it might be super square to do, and we'll talk more about the props coming up with Nate Lundy at the bottom of the hour. But to me, you look at Joe Burrow passing yards at 287.5. You look at, you know, a guy like Joe Mixon coming out of the backfield, C.J. Uzama. I haven't looked up his receptions for this weekend. Last weekend it was 3.5. It's at 3.5 again, but heavily juiced at minus 160. I think he could be another threat this weekend for the Cincinnati Bengals. Receiving yards, you look at, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is 85.5. That's a ton of yards, but other pieces might be involved. T. Higgins, 68.5. Tyler Boyd, 38.5. So there's a lot of big numbers out there. I would just keep it simple. I think Joe Burrow, like you said, he's playing well. They're not scared.
He's confident. They just were extremely productive against the same offense.
And are they going to be able to run? I mean, they don't really utilize the run game all that much.
The Bengals or the Chiefs? Because the Bengals have Joe Mixon.
They do. Yeah. But I think they're going to utilize him a lot out of the backfield.
Well, that's the run game, right?
I mean, the pass. Like pass catching out of the
backfield. I think they always attempt to establish the run initially. And based on how it's going, they can make adjustments. You know, it's tough to run against Tennessee because of the level of skill
line
that they have in their front seven. So they also have two Pro Bowl safeties that are run fit in that are making, you know, tackles. So they got the ball on the edges to Ja'Marr Chase. And, you know, that's kind of where Tennessee's weak is at the corner position. The thing with Kansas City is I don't know where Kansas City's great at on defense. I just don't know.
I could point at a couple players
Jones,
offensively.
Jones is okay as a defensive lineman, but he's not elite. You know, I don't think the secondary is very good. You know, so I think Cincinnati's going to have success. It's going to be very interesting. By the way, Detroit Red Wings just gave up two more goals, so it's currently 8-5. So I can probably put that game to bed.
Did you bet the over?
Unfortunately, no.
Eric Eager pointed out something interesting on Twitter today about Chris Jones. Chris Jones has had 5 total pressures in the last 3 games. is he going to, is it a regression or is he going to, you know, bust out of his slump against Cincinnati? Because if Chris Jones isn't wreaking havoc back there, Sean, Joe Burrow going to have time to pass. He can light you up. And like you said, with that secondary, you got to be a bit worried.
Well, I think 2018 might have been an outlier for Jones. I mean, he had 15 and a half sacks in 2018, but, I mean, he hasn't had double-digit sacks since. So that leads me to believe that, you know, he's not necessarily an elite pass rusher. He may be a rock-solid, all-around, you know, complete defensive lineman, but he's not an elite pass rusher. Because he's been in the league, got in the league at 16, so he's had six full seasons, only 1 year with double-digit sacks. So when you just to answer directly your question about pressures, I don't know if that's his elite skill set, rushing the quarterback. I mean, he can do it, but I don't know if he's elite at it.
So going back.
But Cincinnati is terrible at pass protection.
They are horrible.
If there was ever a game
where
he could bust out, this probably would be it.
Today is the 30th anniversary of the last time the Washington football team was relevant. They won the Super Bowl 30 years ago today against the Buffalo Bills.
Mm-hmm.
And that team was led by the Hogs up front, that offensive line. They allowed seven sacks all year. Joe Burrow was sacked 9 times last weekend.
But they didn't play that Tennessee D-line. They just gave up some sacks. They played that group. That group, they're pretty
impressive. I don't know if they'd give up 9.
That group's pretty impressive.
They were pretty impressive. So when you look at that 7, if I were forced to play it right now, I would take the 7. I would.
I like Kansas City. I told you Joe Burrow's going to – I mean
– You like Cincinnati.
Patrick Mahomes, how to play a game of his life. I think this is a
– You think it's a live dog situation?
Late in the fourth quarter game. I don't think Cincinnati is going to win, but I do think it's a 3 to 4 point game, in my opinion.
Another little nugget from Steve Mackinnon and Point Spread Weekly. The past 40 conference champions, the last 20 years, the winner has covered 35 times. So if you feel like you know the winner, I want to go that route. They have covered 35 of the 40 times. That's a cover rate of 87.5%. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. What props should we be keeping an eye on? We'll talk to Nate Lundy from Altitude Sports, bottom of the hour. That's up next, right here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you missed any part of our show or anything on the VSiN schedule, don't forget to check out our free sports betting podcasts. Catch replays of all our shows or download and listen on your schedule. Head to VSiN.com/podcast. Get Beating the Book with Gil Alexander. Market Insights with Josh Applebaum. We've got Hardwood Handicap, The Lombardi Line, Follow the Money, My Guys in the Desert, Coast to Coast Hoops, and many more. They're all free and available now at VSiN.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Coming up in just a moment, Mountain West Showdown, San Diego State and Utah State. I'll roll with the home dog here. We'll see. They are missing some key components. We'll roll with the Aggies. Let's go Ryan Odom and company, the old keep Tim entertained.
I'm going to rock with the fighting Kawhi Leonards.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. I do like the under a little bit in that game as well. Some of the numbers out there say that should be an under game. Game closing down. Of course. See, this is what's going to happen. I didn't bet the second half at Seton Hall Marquette, and the second half is going to cover. I just couldn't figure that game out. All right, let's bring in Nate Lundy. Does a phenomenal job on Altitude Sports out there in the great city of Denver. Catch him on TV at You Bet Tonight, and also catch him on with Brad Evans each and every weekday morning, Fade the Noise podcast. Mr. Lundy, how are you, sir?
still waiting for my paycheck, Tim, for hazard pay of having to do that podcast with Brad 4 days a week. But other than that, I'm doing okay, guys. I'm doing good. You know what it's like. You have him on for just a short little bit of time. I want you to imagine having to spend 4 mornings a week. And during football season, I actually had to do it 6 mornings a week with that guy. That's nuts. So if you guys wouldn't mind passing the collection plate around a little bit, Sean, drop something in there for me, because I need some hazard pay for putting up with that client.
Hey, I spent 3 years with Mr. Brad. Never had a better time in my life. I know you're just joking.
That is very true. He is one of my dearest friends. He's a ton of fun. He and I really enjoy what we get to do for a living. And you guys know that feeling. Just getting to sit and talk sports with folks from all across the country is a ton of fun. So I do jest, but it is kind of fun to rib him every now and then.
Oh, that's the best. And he'll take it and give it right back. The prop market, we were just talking about the spread and the totals for championship weekend. And, it's the tightest market in all of sports. This late in the season, you really can't sneak anything by the odds makers, and it's not to say that you can't win on these bets. It's just the numbers seem correct. So, in the prop market, I want to start with the two quarterbacks in Cincinnati and Kansas City here. Passing yards are pretty high, 287.5 right now at DraftKings for Joe Burrow, 291, 292.5 there for Patrick Mahomes. Both of them, we've seen them put up big numbers. Joe Burrow obviously went crazy in the Week 17 victory over Kansas City. Quarterback-wise, with a high total, anything jump at you when it comes to the props in the AFC Championship?
I think, Tim, for me, when I look at the AFC Championship game, I really want to kind of stay away from the Mahomes one. Mm-hmm. I think that's a really well-set line. I think he could approach 300. We all know that he's more than capable of doing it, but that number, to me, I think is really well-set when we talk about a 291 right in that range. So that's one that I'm going to stay away from. Burrow, I'm going to lean towards the under with this one. I actually think this is one that I could see Cincinnati. There's two approaches that the Bengals could wind up taking. Obviously, one of them is they can recognize the fact that they're on house money right now. Nobody thought that they'd make it out of the first round, let alone to the AFC Championship, other than inside their own locker room and some of the self-confidence that they have. But that said, you could see them just go nuts and go with house money and recognize that this is just a great learning opportunity, and maybe they get lucky and they catch a down game with the Chiefs. But I actually think you're going to see some Joe Mixon. I think you're going to see the ball on the ground. I think you can run on this Chiefs team, not to the extent of necessarily rocking with 175 yards on the ground, but I think you can move it on the ground. And I think if they can get some confidence, what does that do? It eats up clock, which clearly the Bills didn't know how to do. But if you can eat up some clock and keep the Chiefs and that incredible offense off the field, that's what you want to do. And if that's the case, I think that 287.5 number is influenced by what Burrow did late in the year. And I think in this particular championship game, you're going to see him tuck underneath it. I would expect something in the mid 270s, maybe up to like 278, 279, but I think he stays below the 287.5.
Here's what's interesting, and I'm not disagreeing with you, Nate, just pushing back just slightly. 30 or 39, 446 and 4. Week 17 versus this Kansas City Chiefs defense. That does not seem to be something that you think is repeatable. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, I think what's going to happen is I think you get into the postseason, as you well know, Sean, and I think game scripts can change. And I think that what you can pull off in the regular season, what you can pull off, especially late in the regular season, that playbook starts to change around a little bit. You really start to dice and slice and dice the film by the time you get into this, because obviously a trip to LA is on the line here. And I don't know that you're going to necessarily go crazy with the playbook. Now, that said, everything that I mentioned a second ago, Cincinnati could decide, forget it. We're going to have some fun because nobody even thinks we're supposed to be here. But I just think that this offense, we are going to see, I think Joe Burrow is going to have a good game. I really do. I'm liking watching this kid continue to progress in his career, but I think we're going to wind up seeing like I said, mid 275s is where I'm feeling the number. And I'm definitely staying away from Mahomes.
It'll be an interesting game because, he got sacked 9 times against the Titans and still threw for 348. Like, they get so many hit and passing yards because of the yards after the catch that you get from Ja'Marr Chase and Joe Mixon and those guys. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup. It really is.
Yeah, I think the yak number that you just brought up, Sean, that's actually what I think is going to be the key for Burrow, is if all of a sudden, if there's a play that Chase should have been brought to the turf, that he winds up pulling off that extra, you know, Baker's dozen yards, right? All of a sudden he gets an extra 13, 15 yards. That's what's going to influence Burrow's numbers. But if the Chiefs can make their tackles, that should keep him down. And obviously that's, you know, that's true on the other side of the ball too.
Talking once again to Nate Lundy, check him out on Altitude Sports. His beautiful mug there on his television show throughout the what's the schedule again real quickly just to properly promote it?
Well, so Altitude is the home for the Colorado Avalanche as well as the Denver Nuggets. And so my show actually airs 2 hours before every Avalanche and Nuggets games on Altitude. So I wind up being on sometimes as many as six times a week. We're at the whim of the NHL and the NBA, but that's the kind of season that we live in. It's a ton of fun.
So looking ahead to the NFC Championship, we've seen the Jimmy Garoppolo passing total drop like a rock, and I understand why. I think everybody's going to be firing on the under. I think it's dropped like 10 yards here, Nate. And you just wonder at some point, okay, is this a situation where it's gone too far? Look, he threw for over 300 yards in that comeback win in Week 18 at SoFi Stadium, so it's not like he's – you know, incapable of throwing for big numbers. Is this an overreaction in the market, or is this is what Kyle Shanahan wants to do? If San Francisco is going to win, they're going to roll with the script, and it's going to be, we're going to run the ball and try to avoid Jimmy G making the big mistakes.
Well, I think they're definitely going to try to run the ball, as I think we all expect, and they've certainly got a couple of weapons that they can do that with, including the Swiss Army knife that's Deebo Samuel. I'm kind of with you, Tim. I'm starting to wonder if this number is going to get to the point where now all of a sudden we want to reverse bet it, right, where we want to turn around and take the over because it's been pushed all the way down. I think he winds up finishing really close to where the number sits right now, which I've seen at about 230 and a half. Mm-hmm. But I'll tell you what, if that thing dips a little bit more, if I can get below 230, I think I'm going to turn around and I'm going to go ahead and jump on the over with it, because I do think that's part of the game plan that San Francisco wants to be able to do. But I also think that Kyle Shanahan is going to roll with the punches. And if he starts to see them clamp down on what he can do within the trenches, he knows he's got a quarterback that can air it out. And, you know, you get to the point where that's a pretty low threshold for a guy to get over in a championship game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to tag team the passing yards total with Garoppolo. If I go under, then I'm going to go over the rush total with Eli and Deebo.
Okay.
Because Kyle learned at Green Bay was, if we minimize Jimmy G's exposure so he can't mess this up, you know, we're good enough running the ball and on defense to get the game to the late in the fourth quarter. I think that's what he wants to do. But also Garoppolo, because of the way they run the ball, is going to have some chances, you know, to complete some down the field throws. If he hits one of them, then you take the under, then, you know, it's anyone's game after that.
If they can find the holes in the line, Sean, I love that idea there, because, you know, if Von Miller starts sweeping around the edge like he does, and then you can cut to the right side of the line, you may be able to find a gap that gets you a 5-6 yard carry. I like that.
Hey, Nate, before we let you run, we got about 30 seconds. Is there a bet this weekend that's still available on the board intrigues you the most?
From a player prop standpoint or from a betting card standpoint,
I think.
Right now, I'm expecting the Niners and Rams to be close. So the fact that you're going to give me 3.5 points, I'll take the Niners plus the points. I think this is going to be a close game in the NFC Championship. So right now, as it sits, that's my favorite one that's out there. But as these props start to settle in, as we were talking about before we went on the air, I want to see where some of these lines finish by the time we get to kick.
He is Nate Lundy. Hear him with Brad Evans on the Fade the Noise podcast. Check him out on Altitude Sports there in Denver before Avs and Nuggets game. Nate, you're the man. We appreciate it.
Always appreciate the invite, guys. Thanks. Enjoy the night.
Follow him on Twitter at Nate Lundy. VCU, for the love of God, what are you doing?
This is the Nightcap on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's never too early to prepare for the big game, and we want to make sure VSIN is a part of your plans. We'll be with you throughout the playoffs, and then on championship weekend, we'll have 56 hours of free video coverage on VSIN.com leading up to our 6th annual live big game betcast. It's the biggest game of the year, so make plans now to join the VSIN betting experts before, during, and after the action. on VSiN.com. Alongside Sean King, I am Tim Murray. Got some sweat tidge going on here. The biggest worry for me.
Better not go to overtime.
Biggest worry for me here is overtime.
That's
VCU
right.
And Davidson. Sean is in the clear. He took the over.
And oh, my God. This is embarrassing.
That has come home.
What
yeah,
in the world?
There are 15 Davidson
pale white guys in Speedos.
In Speedos trying to distract.
That are rowing the boat together right behind.
It's kind of hilarious.
Is this going to work?
It did.
Oh, it worked.
All right. So this is horrible. This is absolutely worst case scenario.
Well, Mike Jones going to hit a three.
That's fine with me. Yeah. I want them shoot a three, Davidson. Yeah hit that big boy. You got it blocked. Oh, man. VCU.
Oh, you got away. They didn't call the foul.
0.3 seconds left. VCU, baby. Somebody on this set. How dare you go
terrible,
against
Mike. Terrible two last two possessions by 35 from Davidson. I mean, this is awful. I mean, look how slow this is. Mm. What does he think going to happen right there? Then you got away with a foul. Because they definitely fouled my dog, Mike Jones, right here. I mean, this is foulage. I mean, extreme foulage. Which saved you, because Mike Jones would have went to the free throw line, hit both free throws.
I know, we would have went to overtime.
Yeah. So, fate shined on you tonight. Congratulations.
Right. 1-1.
I won as well. I took over 129.5 in the game.
You know, even though you told me you publicly scorned me on our show last night about betting against Davidson.
Well, listen. And I'm just glad they had a bad first half.
I'm just yeah. Who had a bad first half or VCU had a good first half?
Guess you can look at it both ways. I just congratulated you on the win. Just say thank you.
Oh, now you turn it on me. You're gonna get all a bit high and mighty when you tried to shame me in front of all our viewers.
The kid is
about picking the right side.
The kid has been your kryptonite. The team has been your kryptonite so far. So,
well.
Like, you've bet against Davidson multiple times.
Call me Superman.
Okay, yeah.
Well, I also bet.
But then in the other hand, you bet
Marquette.
With Marquette, and you went against them tonight, too. So
I know. Got Utah State. We'll keep an eye on this one. Utah State and San Diego State. Took a little bit on Utah State here, riding with the Aggies at home. So we'll keep our eyes on that game. As that one goes on in Logan, Utah, a classic rivalry in the Mountain West. So final seconds closing down in a top 25 showdown between VCU and Davidson as some free throws come in. 0.7 seconds to go in that one. By the way, just quickly scrolling through what happened earlier today, really impressive win by Providence. Providence continues to just get W's. They went into the Cintas Center at Xavier, 8-point underdog. They won outright, 65-62. Ed Cooley's squad is the real deal. They lead. They're now 17-2 on the year. 19th-ranked LSU is in a dogfight right now, trailing Texas A&M, 48-44. Tennessee down at the half, came back and beat Florida, 78-71. So a nice win there for Rick Barnes and his squad, as they will head to Texas this weekend, the Rick Barnes revenge game.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I can't figure out.
By the way, Tennessee did not cover, as that game was that game closed 10, so Tennessee did not cover.
Yeah, I can't figure out Tennessee or LSU.
I have a hard time ever betting on LSU. I think Will Wade's not a great coach, so I just have a hard time betting on them.
I'm with you. I'm struggling. I'm trying to figure it out because I think come tournament time, both of them have enough talent to do some damage. But I haven't figured out who they are yet.
I was trying to find today, just looking through the board, trying to find some road dogs because that's my kind of sweet spot.
And
then I took a home favorite.
Yeah.
Like an idiot.
I don't think you have a sweet spot. I just think you're a natural contrarian.
Winning.
Well, you're a natural contrarian, so anytime you can go against or convince yourself that you're going against, then that's your comfort zone.
So the game that I was looking at.
Accurate?
I think that's fair.
Yeah.
The game that I was looking at was Georgia Tech at home against Florida State, and Georgia Tech might win
that
game outright. Yeah, they were 5.5-point dogs. So you snooze, you lose, and my Irish right now. Only up a handful. So, all right, that's enough of college basketball. We've got a pretty big game going on. Utah and the Suns going on right now. But Aaron our producer found a tweet from, I think it was Jay Cornegay over at the Westgate Superbook, and he put up where they opened, what was the peak of the market, and where they sit currently on the four teams remaining in the NFL.
Oh, so, my God. You could have got the 49ers at 200-1.
Chiefs opened 6-1, got up to 14-1. They currently sit plus 120. Rams opened 20-1. The highest they ever got was 20-1, and they closed plus 210. And the 49ers, as you mentioned, Sean, 16-1 they opened. Season high was 200-1, and they are currently plus 475. And then the Bengals, they were 100-1, season high of 200-1, and then they are currently sitting at plus 800.
Wow.
So, you know, as Davidson gets the win, or sorry, VCU gets the win. Good job.
Yeah, they got lucky.
I don't care. They were catching 4.5. Last night on the show, yeah. Catching 4.5. So, bet regret is always a funny thing to discuss, mm-hmm. And I've brought it up before. I'll bring it up again. At least this year, my biggest bet regret was not taking Georgia preseason. We talked them up. You were my new, shiny new co-host. And we talked up Georgia. And then these couple injuries just kind of started popping up. Like, what's going on down in Georgia? They're opening up the season against Clemson. Are they going to win that game? If they lose that game, then there's a little wiggle room, right, for them to be able to overcome that. Can they lose that game and still win the SEC and make it to the playoff? And I chickened out. And the worst part about it was, Sean, I had decided, okay, it's either going to be Oklahoma or Georgia. 8-1 Oklahoma, 8-1 Georgia. Which one you want to do, big boy? Which one? You know what? I'm going to take Oklahoma.
Wow.
What an idiot. So
yeah, here's what's interesting about that. So we were still in the infancy of our relationship, right?
Yep.
Our trust quotient was non-existent. It wasn't like you didn't trust me or you did. We had just started. And I think next year you won't make that mistake. Because if you would have believed in me and what I was saying about Clemson, you could have eliminated the if they lose the Clemson part of
right.
the equation. And I think that gets you to Georgia. Because when you looked at the schedule, they dodged Texas A&M, they dodged Alabama, they dodged LSU in the regular season. So they had a very, very preferable schedule. So next year, hopefully you'll trust me more. Because I have a couple of big-name schools that I think are going to regress.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who are you thinking?
I don't know yet. I mean, you got to wait till all the transfers find a home.
But there was a couple teams this year, if you look in college football. I mean, North Carolina and Iowa State were both preseason top 10 teams.
Oh, I know. I never believed in Iowa State.
Neither did I.
Initially, you did. You kept trying to make people beating them be like a significant win.
Well, it was...
So you didn't really believe in them, but you were trying to act like beating them was like a quality win. And I was adamantly against you because I was like, Iowa State's average.
Yeah, but when I look at things resume-wise, it was, you know, what does the market think of them, and is that a quality win?
Yeah, I don't think it was this year. Normally it is. But, I mean, tell that to Oklahoma State.
Do you have anything here? Because I know.
I mean, my biggest like bet regret is that Michigan State didn't actually win the Big Ten.
It's not a bet regret.
I thought I made a tremendous bet.
You could have hedged off of it.
No. It wasn't a hedge situation. They were, what, getting 17, 18 points in the game against Ohio State?
I mean, what would have been?
I feel really stupid if I bet against them, one, and they win outright.
No, well, on our bankroll.
Or two, if I take Ohio State and.
You took Michigan State money line.
They lose by three. Right. You know, I was all in at that point.
And then you sent out the congratulatory tweet for me for C.J. Stroud winning the Heisman Trophy. And
mush.
You mushed that one. You mushed that one real good.
Yeah.
All he had to do.
I don't think I made a whole lot of bets that I regret this year. I made some bets that lost. But I thought my process getting there was right. I do have one major regret before we go to break. Not betting Washington on the second week of the season on Thursday night.
They didn't cover. The Nightcap here on VSiN.